Welcome to the Beyond Sunday at WMPC podcast. For this Lenten season, we invite you to join us as we explore Lent for the Lost, Longing to be Found. In this seven-week series leading up to Easter, we will look at the lectionary passages from the book of Luke. In preparation for the first Sunday of Lent, we hope you'll listen as Parish Associate Tom Harris and Associate Pastor for Discipleship and Adult Faith Formation Greer Booker Richards explore Luke 4, 1 through 13. All right, friends. Well, it is great to have everyone here at our podcast. Welcome. And whether you're listening to this at the start of Lent, whether you're listening to this after Lent has already started on Ash Wednesday, we are glad you're here with us and hope this is a great kickstart to your Lenten journey. My name is Tom Harris. I'm the new parish associate here at White Memorial, and it really is good to be here with you. And joining me today is Greer. We all know Greer. She's a wonderful colleague in my ministry here and also a great servant of the church. And it's good to have you here with me, Greer.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Let me ask you a question real quick. Have you ever done a podcast before, Tom?
No, this is my very first podcast.
Well, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, hope you enjoy. We're excited to learn from you. What are we in for today?
This is a rich text, and it covers so many things. And, you know, when you first told me about that I needed to do this and gave me my text, I immediately went back to all those things we think about with temptation, all those things we shouldn't do, the things we, you know, don't want to talk about in church. A little insight to my own life. You know, I grew up in Southern California. One of my favorite bands was Oingo Boingo. They had a song called Nasty Habits.
Oh, my.
And I always thought about, you know, that's kind of what we think about with temptation.
Yeah.
And looking at this text, even though I've preached it several times, this was a really wonderful journey. And so I'd love to just walk through it with us a little bit today.
Yeah, share the text we're going into, and we just love to hear your insights this particular week.
Sounds great. Well, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. I'm not going to read them all for you, but you'll also find this same story in the Gospel of Matthew. You'll find it in the Gospel of Mark. You won't find it in John. And there's some similarities and there's some differences. Mark is the shortest by far, just two verses, very different than Matthew and Luke. And Luke, we know, is a storyteller, so it's just full of detail and wonder. The interesting thing about Matthew and Mark is that the end of the temptation, the angels minister to Jesus. He's ministered to. The Gospel of Luke, though, takes a really different turn. The devil leaves or departs until an opportune time.
it does feel kind of sinister there at the end.
It does, yeah. And it sort of foreshadows that there's more to come, and that this is not the end of Jesus' ordeals, struggles, temptations. But, you know, as much as there's some commonality, some differences, there's a lot more commonality in these texts as well. And I want to dig into those a little bit this afternoon for us, but whenever you're listening, that, you know, Jesus, it starts in all of them that Jesus is led by the Spirit. And that's one of those things that's really easy to just kind of look over.
Yeah.
Until you go like, wait a minute, what? He's led by the Spirit to be tempted? And, you know, I think about, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus, we pray and Jesus teaches us, lead us not into temptation. And here, though, the Holy Spirit is doing it. And that's an interesting one to wrestle with. And then what I really wanted to play around with, though, was this word of temptation. You know, we've got some great resources here at White Memorial. And I got to spend some time with Judy, our Greek expert, and we played around with this a little bit. And that wonderful sense, or almost terrifying sense of temptation, that Greek word here is parazo or pyrazo. And we think of it, you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's just those things you don't want to talk about. It's a horrible thing that happens. But as you get into the Greek of it, Judy was explaining, it's much more of a tested, that Jesus was led out into the wilderness to be tested. And the sense here is that it's to endeavor to discover the nature or character of something by testing it. Mm. And it was really interesting to think about it this way, that Jesus is taken out into the wilderness for his character to be refined, tested, shown. And that was just a wonderful thing to sit with, to really kind of play with for a while. That maybe it's not always bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, was thinking a lot about that when I was reflecting on this text as well. It was a text that I actually spent quite a bit of time with when I did my sabbatical a couple of years ago, and this relationship between wilderness and shalom and all of these many places that we see throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, where God's people, Jesus himself, are in the wilderness and often being tested, right?
Yeah.
And what's interesting in this particular story is if you go back and you're looking through it, there's essentially three different or specific temptations that happen. And it's, you know, turning these things into bread and sort of jumping off and maybe you're going to be safe and all of these things in the world can become yours. And when I was thinking back through this story, I was thinking about what is it that Jesus is actually being tempted with or tested about? It's things like hunger and, you know, worldly power, or maybe we might say like political aspirations, a sense of divine protection. And none of these things are inherently bad. They're not naughty,
no,
right? Sort of
not.
Like you were
exactly
thinking about there. And so one of the questions that I had for you is sort of help us think through where this line is. I don't really want to think of it as a line, but this interesting space between when these desires, things like filling our bellies, being hungry for literal food or maybe other things, for some sense of power or maybe leadership, we might say, a sense of divine protection for ourselves, maybe for our loved ones. Where is that line between when that's sort of okay and when that becomes sinful or sort of this, you know, sort of devil creature who is asking these questions of Jesus? Where is it that you kind of turn this strange door into temptation that isn't so good, when really none of these things in and of themselves are inherently bad?
Oh, gosh, that is a rich question, my friend. Oh, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is just one word, love. Mm. And how are we using these temptations or these powers? You know, are we using hunger to just feel pious,
yeah,
you know, and now I'm a better Christian because I can fast longer than you. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure that's the gist of this temptation. You know, as you're talking, I was also thinking about, you know, what do those temptations stand for? I mean, some folks talk about, you know, Henry Nouwen talks about it as this temptation for relevancy, to be spectacular, to be powerful.
Yeah.
You know, but I love what you're saying. When is it crossed the line between being a temptation and a tool in ministry?
Right. Yeah. And one of the things I was thinking about certainly isn't like the answer, but maybe one lens that I was sort of looking through to find some sense of help with this, because I really was quite fascinated, really was just thinking about, okay, when Jesus was not in the wilderness being tempted, how were these very same things, these very same, you know, sort of desires and natural things of life being exercised in his ministry? Well, the hungry were fed, right? Miracles yep. were performed, not for the sake of himself and to show off, but for men and women and children who were hurting and needing, you know, healing. And
absolutely.
That, you know, speaking truth to power is what you know, a sense of power looked like for Jesus, even to the point of losing his life for it. And so there is sort of that interesting lens for all of us to sort of go back and re-examine these very same things that this devil character is tempting him with are the things that really made Jesus also who he is, sort of thinking back to that character building testing you were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that thread, you know, as you mentioned it, that thread runs throughout his ministry. It shows up in so many ways, not just in his life, but also in the death that you were talking about, in the cross. I mean, he could have used that power.
Right, right.
But then he didn't.
Right, yeah. And I keep thinking, of course, about this temptation not happening anywhere, but specifically in the wilderness. And I thought about one of my absolute favorite writers and theologians and educators, a prophet in our midst, I would say Barbara Brown Taylor. And this is what she writes about wilderness that really has spoken to me a lot over time. But I kind of wondered, yeah, how you would respond to that in thinking more about the story for this week. Barbara Brown Taylor says, maybe it just looked like a hospital waiting room to you, or the sheets on a cheap motel bed after you got kicked out of your house, or maybe it looked like the parking lot where you couldn't find your car on the same day you lost your job. It may have even been a kind of desert in the middle of your own chest, where you begged for a word from God and heard nothing but the wheezing bellows of your own breath. Wildernesses come in so many shapes and sizes that the only way you can really tell that you're in one is to look around for what you normally count on to save your life and come up empty. No food, no earthly power, no special protection, just a Bible-quoting devil and a whole bunch of sand.
She, as always, gosh, BBT nails it.
I know, the woman with all the words.
Yes, that's a tough one to follow. Thanks so much, Greer. I appreciate that one. So my thoughts on that, I think she nails it. You know, as I think about my own summary of that wilderness, it's when all your supports are gone. You know, Egypt was taken into the wilderness. All the supports, even though it was slavery, they were gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so bad they wanted to go back, even though they cried out for 400 years ago to get out. You know, and so I think in my own life that what Barbara Brown Taylor says and what you mentioned here is so true, that wilderness is terrifying. And at the same time, that's where God works.
Yeah. And so for those of us sort of preparing or just beginning our Lenten journeys, why do we start in the wilderness? Why with the story, do you think?
Ooh, you ask great questions, Greer. You ask really good questions. Maybe it's to get those supports away, you know, to get all that stuff that we put to insulate us from the troubles of life are also the things that insulate us from the change, the transforming power of God.
Yeah, that is so much what I think, and at least for me over time, it's taken a long time, mm-hmm. for me to, I think, first even appreciate the season of Lent, and then to kind of like fall in love with it. You know, as with many things in life, the discomfort gets a little less uncomfortable the more you have exposure to it.
Yeah.
And then it's not exposure anymore. It's like familiar. And then it's comfortable-ish. And then at some point it becomes like companion, you know?
Yeah.
And just this idea of having a time where we begin with this really intentional story about what it's sort of like to not be fooled into thinking we can have the world, right? And so much of our world today feels exactly the opposite. We are constantly told we can have it all, we can be it all.
You can do it all.
You can do it all if you just, you know, fill in the blank.
Yep.
And so we get accustomed to these lives that are filled with stuff, filled with shopping, filled with wanting self-recognition, wanting popularity, filled with making more money, maybe filled with alcohol, maybe filled with blame directed at others instead of responsibility for ourselves. Maybe our lives are a bit filled with envy of other people, of other lifestyles. whatever it is that we can so easily, you know, fill ourselves with, that is the exact opposite of this wilderness time of kind of emptiness and just being tested by the character of who we have been created to be. And this time that we're sort of given to strip back from this false narrative that so much of society creates for us. That's sort of what it's become for me over the years, I guess. What about you?
I love that. And, you know, as you think about all the things that Jesus responded to or responded with, it wasn't the things he had. It wasn't the things that normally we use to comfort us. But I love what you're talking about here in the sense that it pulls us away from all that stuff we use to support us, to get into that wilderness. And instead of filling himself with all that, all the stuff, all the accolades, all the food, all the alcohol, all the success, all the stuff that we use to fill us, Jesus fills himself with the word. He fills himself with his connection with God. And on one hand, that it sounds really pious, but at the same time, isn't that what we want? That fruit of the Spirit is what we want in our lives. That's what we want to be filled with.
Yeah. So have you thought some about your own Lenten journey and what that might look like this year?
You know, I put so much into this podcast, starting Lent. I haven't thought about it myself personally yet. I would look at something right now. I would look at it in the sense of these wilderness journeys, you know, being uncomfortable, being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And even this theme that we've chosen about lost and found, Lent for the lost, longing to be found, we were intentional about that. We weren't saying we have it all together. We weren't saying we're the ones who don't need this. And we have all of these scriptures that we'll be talking about over the next couple of weeks and those that will be preached on Sundays that are all about lost and found. And so, I don't know, in this particular text, did you think some about how that theme may have applied to, yeah, to this time of Jesus in the wilderness?
Well, I can imagine Jesus feeling really lost when he's out there, you know, wanting to be anywhere but where he was. And I can imagine you listening. I can speak for myself. I've been in that place. But Lord, I'd rather be anywhere but here, even though you're in very familiar territory. And so I can imagine that theme really not only resonating with Jesus, but hopefully resonating with all of us if we take some time to allow it to.
Yeah. And so what would be maybe your, I don't know, Lenten hopes for people who are listening? I know it's sort of a strange season of thinking about what is the good news here. But it's also our conviction that we proclaim hope, that is first and foremost what we do from a place of love and truth. And so what do you think sort of our great hope is in Lent, or the good news that sort of this is pointing to for us?
I think it goes to the fact that the wilderness is not the end of the story. There's always a homecoming. And no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're struggling, God works it for good. And yeah, sometimes it is a horrible, tough road. Sometimes it's a long journey in the wilderness to get there. But I've found that in my own life to be true, that it works for good in ways that I could not have ever imagined or even created on my best days.
Yeah. I've had that experience too. Anything else from your study over the past week that you really want us to know?
I don't have anything else. You've asked me such great questions. You've covered all the stuff that I would have wanted to cover. So I don't have anything else to add to anything else you want to ask me or that we should be talking about, or should we wrap this up?
Well, how was your first podcast experience, Tom?
well, I'm still here, and it's actually really fun. I'm hoping to do another one.
Awesome. Thanks. Awesome.
Thank you. Well, friends, thank you for coming, and we hope this is a great start for your Lenten journey, and we look forward to hearing from you about how this podcast has taught you and how you're growing during this Lenten season.